Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, Happy Halloween! We're talking spooky Nintendo levels. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. Mark, how is it going?
It's going so good, which you can probably guess, because I, of course, am dressed up like the Bride of Frankenstein. Patrick is a scary Dracula.
That's right. I was trying to go as Bride of Scary Dracula, but this is an easier costume for me. The cape's a little bit longer.
Yeah, the cape's a little bit longer. You know, it's getting a little chillier in LA.
Yeah, yes, if we are able to stay away from the fires.
Right.
Is that too much of a bummer? Is this not how the show should start?
I mean, you know, it's the reality of LA.
It is, in fact, the reality of LA. We're fine. Mark and I are safe, at least as we're recording this on Monday night. Who knows? There could be some Santa Ana winds that bring some embers over into East LA, and we could be burned down at this point.
But of course, because it is Monday night, it's a little bit weird that I'm dressed as the Bride of Frankenstein,
right,
and Patrick is a spooky Dracula, but that's the kind of dedication we have for the show.
Wait, I'm sorry. Were you saying that was Halloween related? That doesn't make any sense to me. It's Halloween. I was about to blow past all of our other stuff. Let's do things quickly. Sonic Force is my copy of it. You want to borrow it? You can.
The spookiest borrowing program. Are we doing this for each of the...
Yes, great. Spookiest borrowing program. You can email us a spooky email at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com.
Ooh!
I send it to you. You play it for as long as you want. You send it back. It costs you nothing. And it's spooky. Also, you can send us your spooky Mario Maker 2 level. Email or Twitter. You can Twitter us at Nincart Society.
I like how your ooh is becoming less spooky and more just like icky. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, well, fear and disgust, they're like related.
They're holding
reactions.
Hands,
that's
for
right.
Sure.
What is that, the Bill Hader character and the Mindy Kaling character from Inside Out? We're doing a special episode.
Right. This one, not so spooky.
This one can't be spooky. I guess it could be spooky, but...
But it's not.
But it's... Oh, jeez. We are going to determine what are the best pieces of Nintendo music. When we're going to do a whole bracket style thing. It's going to be great. But here's the complication. We cannot nominate pieces of music for this competition. You need to do that.
And I hear what you're saying. Yes, you can nominate spooky music if you want.
Ooh. Ooh. But we will not have, we may have, a spooky bracket. But we will not have a spooky bracket, but we may. If we have enough spooky entrants. Look, this is what happens in this tournament will be directed by us, but it is only happening because of your suggestions. So email those to us. Tweet them at us, and we need them before
November 22nd.
That's right. So we can get this all done for you. Thank you to everyone who has sent in pieces of music already. We love it. All right, Mark, are you ready to get into the subject at hand? We can talk about some spooky levels with Emily Rose Jacobson.
Yes, I want to.
I'm the one that's dressed up as the spooky Dracula. All right, Mark, let's get to it. We are joined today by actor, writer, gamer, Emily Rose Jacobson.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello! It's so good to be here.
It's so great to have you here. We have serious business to attend to today.
Spooky business to attend to today.
Seriously spooky business. It's Halloween. We've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of October. Who can believe it?
We did it.
I want it to last forever. Halloween's like my favorite holiday. I love October.
Yeah.
Let me enjoy the spooky before the Christmas, please.
Do you ever, so is Halloween like a hard cutoff for you of like, now we're done with spooky?
Yes, and I start Halloween in September. Okay. So for me, I am like those Christmas people who start Christmas in November.
Right.
But I start Halloween in September.
It's because you need a lot of time, right? There's like a mood to be set.
Exactly. And as soon as Halloween, man, November 1st, everyone's like, it's Christmas. Like, it's such a hard, like, shift. I love fall. Let me enjoy. Technically, I don't think even winter technically starts until a few days before Christmas usually.
Yeah, that's right.
So let me just enjoy fall, please.
Please, please, we need fall.
I love fall.
But we are going to be talking today. Mm-hmm. About the spookiest, maybe not spookiest. We're going to be talking about spooky levels or areas.
Spooky to us.
Spooky to us. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is going to be a very personal. And so, Emily, you had mentioned before we started recording that you don't necessarily care for, or like you are easily spooked.
I am so easily scared. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard because there's certain horror video games whose plots I really like.
Yes.
And it's so hard. I have to essentially, if I'm going to, like Resident Evil 7, I was really, really hooked when that game first came out, but I have to play it in the daytime with other music playing and usually another person next to me. So I'm not alone in this journey. Mm-hmm. Or what I'll do is, this is so bad, I'll watch a playthrough of it on YouTube and so I can expect the scares. That way I can go a little further. But yeah, it's, I wish I was had a better fear level or a fear gate.
Yeah. Like a higher tolerance for
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that way too. As I get older, I think it has to do with getting older. The less I'm like, yeah, I want to go to a movie and be scared. Like, I don't want that experience anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, do you relate to this at all? Are you placating me?
No, not at all. I went to see It Chapter 2 was probably like the most scary movie I saw. And I have gotten to the same point as you, Patrick. So I spent the majority of the movie with like my hands over my ears.
Same.
So that way, it wouldn't be loud. But I tried to do it like discreetly because I was with my husband. I tried to do it discreetly so like I didn't embarrass him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, like casually putting my hoodie up over my head and like casually putting my hand in my over my ear.
Right. Just so no one knows. It's an right. embarrassing fear that you have.
Exactly.
I avoid that by just not going to and then
that's smart.
Yeah. And my friends are like, hey, you should see this movie. You would really like it. I'm like, is it scary?
Yep.
I'm probably not going. But we got some spooky levels. We each brought a couple, and then Emily's got a game that she wants to share with us. I'm so excited to hear about. Who would like to go first in sharing a spooky level from a game?
Well, I feel like up front, I should say that a lot of these spooky levels are, you know, that there's like a website, I think, where if you're like, is YouTube down for everyone or is it just me?
Yes.
Right? I feel like this is like spooky for everyone or just me. And I feel like a lot of these answers are going to be just me.
Wow. We need that website.
Yes.
Spooky for
everyone or just me. .org.
Because, okay, I'll start.
Okay. All right.
So the first one I have is from Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh.
Okay.
And it's World 5. It's the tower level that takes you from, that's like the in-between from the ground level to the sky, like cloud part of World 5. And ever since I was a kid, I found something like disturbing and off about this level.
Yes.
And I was watching a run through of it to be like, what exactly about this level was it that I found to be spooky? And I will tell you, there's one section when you're climbing up, where you know how like Super Mario Brothers 3 has a lot of parts and levels where they're like just transitions, like nothing's going on. It's just like you're going from one pipe to the other and it's like one short room.
Yeah.
There's one of those in this tower, and hanging from the ceiling are just these
they're like
light
globes.
Fixture,
yeah.
Like globes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only place in Super Mario Brothers 3 that those globes are used. But as a kid, I always thought they were nooses.
Oh my gosh.
That is dark.
That's ooh, Mario, no.
Mario, don't hang yourself.
Yeah.
So that's a very scary like aspect of that level. It's also the only thing that looks like that on like the world map, like
right.
as you travel to it, because it's this like weird spirally tower, and it does serve as that transition, right? From the ground to the sky. And
it has no like end, right? Like all levels in Super Mario Brothers 3 have the sort of thing where you run and you hit the box and you get one of the three cards.
Right. Or there's a boom boom boss and you beat him, and that level doesn't have that.
No, this level doesn't have it. It's just a weird level, and weird is scary.
It is weird, and weird is scary, but it doesn't. I'm not going to remember the name of the thing. I just tried to Google it, and it did not help. But isn't there some either mythological or religious tower that goes into the heavens that, like, the characters in the story go up the tower to try to kill God?
I don't know if they go up this tower to kill God, but the Tower of Babel, right? Is that what
we're
talking
about? I mean,
the
Tower of Babel is that's what helps them, like, communicate, or that's what causes the breakdown in language, right?
Right, but I think they were building it...
Oh, maybe to fight God, like, and then God was like, how dare you? Now you all speak
God or
Spanish.
Something. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think, okay, sure.
Some of you speak Spanish. Some of you speak French. Now it'll be hard for you to communicate.
Yeah.
That was God's punishment. So, I live in fear of God's wrath. So that's a good pick, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you.
Emily, would you like to share a level?
Sure. My first one is the terrifying nightmare piano from Super Mario 64.
Oh my gosh.
This, like, I played, they had super, so they, this is how they got me to go to church, was my church had six, my church had like three Nintendo 64 stations set up. And they had Mario Kart, and they had Super Mario 64. And so I'd always go there to play Super Mario 64 because we didn't have a 64 growing up. And man, you get to this level and it's, you enter the room, you open the room and you just see the piano there. And I've never been, like, it's not only this piano has teeth and is chomping at you, it's the terrifying monstrosity noise it makes.
Yes.
It's just like people bashing keys on a keyboard and this chomping noise at the same time.
Yeah, it's like someone threw a bunch of mouse traps into an open grand piano. And just like...
No. And it's terrifying because if Mario dies, like, if he gets killed by it, it keeps going. It doesn't stop. So the Bowser head shows up and it just zooms in on just Mario's corpse underneath this piano that's still ravaging him. And
chomping away. That's especially scary too because when you come into the room, it's pretending to be a chill piano.
Mm-hmm. It's awful. It's not like it gets you when you go in there. It's as soon as you get close.
And you're like, oh, can Mario play the piano?
Yes, is this a fun little Easter egg in this game? No, it's the Easter egg from Heck.
Oh, man. That whole level is good spookiness because it's like the first time or like one of the most like severe times where the game takes control of the camera away from you and you can't really tell it where you want to look. Like, I can picture the camera angle when you enter that room. It's so far away from the door and, like, sort of behind the piano. Oh, man. That is good spookiness.
But, like, as a kid, you're like, Mario, bright colors, coins. There's a crazy slide level, and look at these penguins. And then it's just horror piano.
I feel like, was it something about the Nintendo 64 era that, like, people use that to lure children to go places they didn't want to go? Because my dentist did the same thing that your church did, where they had three like Nintendo 64 stations set up with Banjo-Kazooie.
Our orthodontist had this too.
Yeah, my dentist had that too, and it was Wave Racer and Monkey Ball. Like,
oh boy.
Or I think that might have been a GameCube, actually. They may have upgraded to a GameCube. But, oh my gosh. I don't know what it is about Nintendo and, luring kids into this situation.
Effective.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kids like Nintendo. So my first spooky area is the town of Zozo from Final Fantasy VI/Final Fantasy III. So have you guys played this Final Fantasy game?
I have. I don't remember.
So Zozo is like the sister town of Jidor, which is the where the opera house is.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jidor is where all the like affluent, you know, well-to-do folk are. And Zozo is where all of the poor criminals live. And it is always raining in Zozo. Always. It is the only town in the game, the only like fully populated town in the game where there are random encounters. Like, there is no peace in this town. There are only monsters that are way... When you get there, it's one of the first, like, kind of level gates where it's like, no, you should grind. You need to grind for this. And it is so hard to make your way up to the top of this tower, and everyone in the town is lying to you. Like, it's one of the first things that they say is like, oh, by the way, everyone here is a criminal. Everyone will lie to you. So like,
oh, God.
Everyone in the town, there's a clock in the town that you need to set to a certain time. And then you get the chainsaw item, which is a really powerful ability for Edgar. But like, people in the town will tell you what time the clock needs to be set at, but they all lie to you. And so it's this like huge betrayal of like, you're trying to solve puzzles and like, you're talking to people in town and none of them are saying anything that's helpful to you. And then like, you walk into a room and there are enemies there and they fight you. And even when you get your way all the way up to the top of the tower, because you go there chasing after Terra, who has just transformed into a half Esper creature, and like, you know, screamed across the sky and landed at the top of this tower. And like, you get up there and that's when they reveal like this whole darkness about the world, that like, there are these magical creatures and there was a war between the magical creatures and the real people. And like, the game gets so heavy and real in Zozo, in this horrible, dark, crime-ridden town where it always rains.
That's so sad.
It's
very sad and so spooky. And the music is this relentless. I also think this is the only part of the game where it plays. But it's got a little bit of that like funhouse sort of like, it's horrifying. It is scary.
That sounds very scary.
That sounds awful, and I feel bad for the people of that town. Seriously. I mean, if it rained every day and everyone was lying to me, would I become then a victim of my environment?
Absolutely.
You're basically describing Gotham City.
Oh my gosh, Gotham and Metropolis in Final Fantasy.
But they have no Batman, is the problem.
Yeah, it's just Arkham Asylum, open and unleashed.
Okay, well, my next one is kind of like a fun, spooky level. Because, it's from Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Oh, yes.
And I'm blanking on the name right now because I'm trying to find. Oh, wait. Yeah, Spooky Trails.
Is that
that's what it's called. That's like the whole world that you go into. It's like Spooky Trails. Because I really like Halloween as well, but I like the Disneyland version of Halloween.
Oh, same here.
And not like the Halloween Horror Nights at, you know, like Universal Studios.
Same here. Like, give me purple, give me greens, give me cute little pumpkins.
Give me Mickey Mouse dressed as a vampire.
That's right.
That's the kind of spooky I want, and that's the kind of spooky I get in Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle Spooky Trails. Like, even the music, like, you're going through the town and it's very, you know, like, exaggerated, broken down houses with very cartoony spider webs. There's big vines that are playing the harp, like, in time with the music. Like, it is the type of spooky that I want to have around Halloween. To me, that's very, like, comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The music is great in that game entirely, but this is very, like, Danny Elfman, kind of Batman-y, kind of Nightmare Before Christmas.
I am so upset right now because I got to the desert ice level, and that was the last level. I think I started playing a different game. And now that I know that there's a spooky level, I have to go back and replay Mario vs. Rabbids.
I think it's the third one, right? Like, I think it's right after
it's
desert ice.
Gosh darn it! No!
I think so. And, you know, like, it has, like, a booze from the Mario game. Just, like, that game in general is really fun, really well designed and really well made, and this was my favorite part of that entire game.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this next one is something that happens to you if you're a bad little gamer. Animal Crossing got super mad at you if you didn't save, or all of a sudden your power goes out in your house when you're a child, and suddenly you load your Animal Crossing town back up, and you have no money, and you have the creepy gyroid face.
Gyroid face? What is this? What happens?
Oh,
what is this?
My goodness. Have you ever seen this? Uh-uh. So basically, Rossetti was there to tell you, hey, you got to save your game. Don't ever exit the game without saving. So this would happen if you got on the train to go to another friend's town and your game shut off, or the power went out, or you just turned off your GameCube.
Right.
So the game would take away all your money, and then you would get cursed with this face the next time you turned on your game. Your little Animal Crossing human had just like these holes for eyes and just this circle mouth.
And just the abyss looks back.
Yes. And as, once again, Nintendo, as a child, punishing me for, I will tell you anything, Animal Crossing really just nails in capitalism and remembering to save your game.
Which is so funny. Like, Animal Crossing is such a
It's supposed to be safe.
And it's like, I'm in so much debt, and now I'm a mayor, and I have so much responsibility. Yay. Hello, my animal friends.
And but now now you're like the victim of a Dementor.
Exactly. Yes. So this actually happened to me. Like I said, I was going on the train and my power went out in my house. And so it shut all the electronics off and I loaded my game back up, I think a few days later. And once you kind of get through it a little bit and you turn off the game and you restart it, you're brought back to your same character. It's not a permanent thing.
Okay. Well, that's good at least.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's the kind of thing that would make me turn off the game again and say, like, try to forget that it happened, right? I'd be like, no more.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's a scary face. I've got a scary face that I'd like to discuss.
Yes.
Did either of you play much of Yoshi's Crafted World?
Ooh, I have this on my list. I did not play a lot of this game, but I did play this level.
So there's a level called Be Afraid of the Dark, which is, so it's in a like spooky themed like overall world, but this is one individual level where you go into it and it is dark, like not totally dark, like you can see what's going on, but like it's darker than usual, and then there's like one light just a little bit of the way into it, and you're like, okay, great, I go into the light, and there's one of those little boxes that you hit from the bottom, and it tells you, you know, some useful hint about like, here's the cute thing that happens in this level. When you hit this one, the text just reads, if he sees you, run away.
Oh my gosh. Hello, cute Yoshi yarn child.
And it's not like the words are just like up there on the screen like they normally are. There's like a line break between each one and every other line is justified differently. So it's like, if is over here and then your eyes move a couple inches to the right and then he and then like back to the left sees and then over here you and then run away dot, dot, dot. So you're like, okay. What is this game warning me against, right? So you play a little bit more, right? Like you move a little bit further into the level and it's not immediately clear to you who the he is or what the he is until you see a clown doll holding a giant axe.
What?
You're correct to react this way. He is a terrifying clown doll who, if he sees you, we'll start swinging the axe, and Emily, take a guess at what stops him.
Nothing! Nothing stops him! Nothing! He will cut through the yarn like you are nothing!
It is a nightmare. He won't go into the light, so if you get to like another pool of light, you're okay.
Awesome.
But by the end of the level, there are like five or six of them chasing you, and like,
wait, there's more.
There are many of them.
I thought there was only one. No,
it is, and you know, Yoshi is so much about like just existing in the world and like taking your time to really explore the space. And this, this level is like, I refuse to let you play the game you've been playing.
The thing I love about it is that it is just a one level.
Mm-hmm.
Just like nothing else in the game up to that point prepares you for something like that.
Yes.
And nothing afterwards repeats it.
No, not even close. And you never see that clown dude again, except for in this level.
It's one of those things where I just want to know the game dev who like sat there and was like, no, we need this level in this game. And so, I want to do it.
Yeah, the guy who was like, so I've got a pitch.
You know, he's like the Ringo of the group.
Yes.
Right.
This is a real fun game, but what if we just did a little something?
They're like, all right, fine, whatever.
You get your own level.
We'll all sing on it. Okay. My next one isn't necessarily like a level, but more of a, I guess like, it's not even the character or whatever. I'll just get into it.
Yeah.
It's from the Ocarina of Time.
Oh.
It's the re-dead in Hyrule Castle Town, the
yes.
first time that you go into like your full-grown Link.
Yes.
And I guess you see them elsewhere in the game, but in Castle Town,
because they've replaced the people.
Right, they've replaced the people. You're just like walking around, and if you get close to one of them or they catch sight of you, they make a horrible, like, piercing scream.
Yeah.
And then they just start like sauntering towards you.
And
they're
frozen by the scream.
Oh. They're horrifying.
It's not just the saunter either, because when they saunter close enough to you, they like jump
they can,
on
like,
top
grab
of you, right?
Yeah.
And then they just kind of like writhe around on your body, and you just lose hearts, and you're like, why am I losing hearts? Those things are too scary, Mark.
They are very surprising the first time you're playing that game.
Yeah.
There's so many frightening things. Like, people say Majora's Mask is like one of the scariest Zeldas. There's so many frightening things in Ocarina of Time.
It's true. Oh,
that and the
man.
Spiders.
The spiders are really scary.
And the first time, too, yeah, when you're going out in the fields and the and
oh,
the, and
yeah,
the, and
it
the
becomes
bones.
Nighttime.
Yeah, and it becomes nighttime for the first time, and you're like,
yes.
Oh, I'm never doing
this
again.
I know, you take all of that kind of stuff. Even, you're right, like the, what are they called? Like the skeletas, like the spider type things.
Yeah, the skulktas.
Yeah, there's like so many things that now we just take for granted as being part of Zelda, but when you're experiencing those for the first time, especially it was the first time in like 3D that you saw anything like that, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Oh, man. Re-dead. That's the name of those things?
I think so.
Huh. Huh, Mark. There is some point where you encounter them as young Link. And I feel like it's in some, like, tomb area or, like, you're underground and there's, like, some, like, waterways.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you know, it's you have just gotten out of the forest, so like you've got a slingshot and like your dumb little sword, and that's like, it's one of those where you're like, I am not equipped to fight anything, and here's this horrible undead monster that's just going to suck out my blood or I don't know what. That's a good pick, Mark.
And I like how they're never really like explained what they are or why they're there in the future or anything.
Yeah,
I guess they're just brought on from like Ganon's power.
Well, here's the question. Are they the reanimated corpses of the people who lived in the town?
Oh, no.
Did they replace?
So
or
sad.
Yeah, or did they? Yeah, is it them or were they replaced by these beings?
Right.
Sure. It's a little re-dead gentrification.
Spooky. Oh, gosh.
If that were true, I wish that there was a little dog one. That would be like running
around. Or that they were like, there was at least one friendly one that was like a vendor or something, like still selling in the afterlife.
That's a good bit. All right, Emily.
All right. So similarly, this is a character. And for me, this was a character, I think, because masks are very, very scary because they disfigure the face, they hide the face. And so anything that's like a character disfigured is very, very eerie because you're used to it. First console I ever owned was the GameCube, and the first game I ever played was Super Mario Sunshine. So, of course, Shadow Mario was actually really terrifying to me because just the way he would stand there, just like motionless facing Mario, it was horror level like material. I would much prefer Baby Bowser running around like full face. But Shadow Mario was scary because it just didn't have any, he didn't have any features. He just was like this morphous outline of Mario that would just stand there and then run away from you. And it was like, I gotta get this guy.
That's got a little bit the same energy as Guigi, right?
Guigi's like the fun coffee gummy version of that.
Guigi's like, you control Guigi. This is like, here's a shadow version of yourself that somebody else is controlling and committing crimes.
Very like Shadow Link.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Like he has the same sort of like inky blank expression, or like no expression at all. It's just like nothingness. But
I think it's especially scary for Mario, though, like versus Link, because I think we're used to seeing Link as sort of like a blank slate, whereas Mario is joy, right? Mario is joy incarnate. He loves to run. He loves to jump, right? He loves these things. But Shadow Mario?
Has a nasty paintbrush, committing crimes, stealing princesses.
He knows no love.
Oh, yeah. Only to run.
Oh, that one's too scary. But I like it. My next pick is the Graveyard from Star Tropics. Now, we've talked about Star Tropics on this show probably too much.
Everybody take a drink.
Yeah, take a drink. Take a drink. It's a Star Tropics reference. So I pulled out the NES Classic Edition today to double check and make sure that this is still a super spooky part of this game. And Star Tropics is kind of known for being a little obtuse, right? Like, you without knowing how to get through all of the dungeons and levels, like, it's not a super intuitive game, right? But I would argue that that starts in the graveyard, which is on the third island, the third chapter of the game. So you go to this graveyard and you are looking for a crystal ball because the fortune teller has lost it, right? So that's your only guidance. You're walking around this graveyard and there is one blue tombstone that like looks slightly different from the rest of them. And you walk into it and bam, you're in like a dungeon. And this is a dungeon that has so many false exits and so many like hyper hidden things where you're like, you need to go into every room and use the like ghost reveal item, which is, you can use it up. So like if you use it all up and you can't expose the ghosts, then you can't kill the ghosts and you can't get out of the room. So it's like a series of frustrating dead ends. And it's where Star Tropics is like, no, I'm going to be the worst version of myself. Like, I'm not going to argue that it is a good level in the game, but it is so assertively itself that I have to mention it here. And there's a giant ghost at the end that you have to throw things at until it goes away. It's too scary and it's too hard.
And that's an unfair combination.
Yeah. If you're going to be scary, like, be easy.
Please.
Please.
I mean, speaking of which, my next pick, mm-hmm. which another entry in scarytoeveryone.com, mm-hmm.
yes.
is Bonneton, the Cap Kingdom from Super Mario Odyssey.
Sure.
What is with the Cap Kingdom?
And why?
What's about the Cap Kingdom?
Yeah, and it starts you there too.
Right. So like the opening of the game, you know, there's like the whole narrative part of it. But then the first kingdom you go to is this desaturated, mm-hmm. Black and white, very foggy, has a real Danny Elfman vibes mm-hmm. going on in the music. And you're like, what? It's such a weird entry point to that game for me. Because I'm like, why do the people of Bonneton want to live here? They're top hats. There's nothing inherently spooky about top hats.
Except they're top hats, but don't they have like ghosts under them? Or
yeah, they're
are they ghosts or is that just like?
I think they're. Oh, it's so tricky because yeah, are they spirits that now possess headwear? And that is like because we see the eyes, but yeah, they do have these kind of ghostly tails to them,
right?
Or are they just magically enchanted headwear with souls that simply live?
And I mean, once they certainly have souls.
And I guess yeah. Does Cappy's soul go into Mario once he is worn, or does it just go into the cover of the hat?
I mean that the weirdest part about that is like, does Cappy? Does his soul somehow borrow Mario's soul and put it inside of a Goomba, like when they take it over?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Right. Is it two souls, one Goomba?
There we go. Two souls, one Goomba.
I mean, yeah, when you really think about it, like, because Cappy, I don't know that they're, because hats exist independent.
Right.
Right, so...
Also, I just want you to know, we can go down this rabbit hole, but we are about to uncover some existential horrors that I don't know that we're prepared to discuss.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that I think we're down this path, Patrick. Right. I think we have to forge forward as pioneers. But,
you have my ex.
Because hats exist. So so I'm not sure that these are...
Fact.
I don't know that these are spirits inhabiting hats, or if they are... like a race or creature that is what we think of as hats. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like they are headwear that has been possessed by a soul. I think they are just a creature that is
a hat
that has the power of, that's like maybe they're a cousin of the Boo. Maybe they're like an evolutionary cousin of the Boo.
Yes,
because they're kind of in the ghosty
family.
But their skill is possession, like you said. There's other creatures in other worlds that have other abilities. Mm-hmm. So just these people here, these ghosties, these Cappies, their power is possession.
Right, exactly. Like they evolve, you know, at some point, Boos and Caps, they like split off from the same ancestors, went to different islands.
Right. There was an early one that put on a headband.
Exactly. Yeah. And like the Boos, right, for whatever reason, environmentally, they evolved that way.
To be embarrassed.
Yes, exactly. If you're looking at them, they are shamed. Maybe they do improv on their island.
Oh, gosh. Oh, it's too real.
And then the caps, right? Mm-hmm. They, and then in their evolutionary, they found the need to, like, be able to possess things. And they obviously have much more, like, mobility because they can do all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, Bonneton is very scary, and the idea of these cap creatures is even scarier.
The implications are horrifying.
If you start thinking about how these creatures exist, why they have not been introduced to Mario and Bowser for so long if they possess this level of power.
This is a great question, especially because there are so many hats in the Mushroom Kingdom. I mean, notably, Mario's and the princess's tiara. Like, and we see them as cap creatures in Odyssey, but never before.
Right. What?
So, okay, also question. Mm-hmm. Is Cappy's sister, the tiara, controlling Peach for Bowser because the tiara is so terrified of Bowser? Like, or is it just we need a tiara to make Peach a princess?
Oh, boy.
I guess all those bridal items are just bridal items. They're not necessarily like... There was a Sabrina PC video game where in order to trap her evil cousin, you had to find like the shoes of binding, the tattletale mouth like sucker.
Yeah.
So it was like all these evil toys that you would use on your evil sibling to get her to not cast any more spells. And then it was like the shoes would keep her in place so she couldn't run away. So, but I don't think.
No, because Bowser and the Brutals are mostly like they're trying to throw a good wedding. Right.
And like the tiara seems like she. Also a victim.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Terrified to cannot leave.
Yeah.
Terrified.
The eldritch horror of Cappy. Also, what if the Cars from the Cars movies exist in this universe? There are just so many questions.
Mark, no. Emily, save us.
There's so many questions about the Cars universe. Like, there's so many things that don't make sense. How do planes exist? How do cars get carried in planes if planes are also beings as well?
Who makes the tires?
Yeah, that's a better question.
Are they like shoes or are they like feet? I don't get it. Emily, save us. What's next?
Next is the bad ending with Brunhilde from Banjo-Kazooie. When Tootie and when Brunhilde takes Tootie's beauty away from her and turns her into some kind of terrifying Brunhilde monster, and then Brunhilde gets very, very sexy.
She gets uncomfortably sexy.
Yes. Like the most realistic person in this game. Like, it's very cartoony, a big cute bear, a little bird, a bunch of fun creatures, a garbage shark, and then you have, who's also kind of terrifying. And then, all of a sudden, your sister becomes this monster, and then a sexy woman appears.
Yes. And then, like, gothic Jessica Rabbit walks out.
Basically, and it's like, and her voice goes like, rah, 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 goes like, ooh, and you're like, oh, bad ending, but you feel so bad for Tootie, and just poor Tootie, like.
Is the implication that, like, she took Tootie's cuteness?
Yeah,
and
she steals her beauty with a machine.
She steals her beauty with a machine because you failed. Yes. It isn't, that's the thing that's really scary, is with Banjo-Kazooie, it isn't like, oh, your character's punished or you die for not succeeding. It's like you affect the lives of others around you. And your sister now takes the brunt of your failures.
Yeah, it's a game that forces you to confront the weight of your decisions and your failures as they affect the lives of everyone
around
you.
That must have been why we played it in ethics in college. Yes,
it was Until Dawn before. Until Dawn.
Yes. that's... The fact that it is like the fail state, man, what is it with games that would like punish you with that sort of like, here's what it looks like when you mess up, you know, like here are the consequences. I was just playing through The Last of Us. There's always like a moment when you mess it up where the clicker is just like, you know, tearing into your flesh, and it's the game is so good about giving you like a second of it and then being like, nope, go back and like try it again. But like every time I see that, I have like it plays out in my head of like everything else bad that would happen, and I'm so grateful the game doesn't show me that. my next scary area. the Forest Temple from the Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time showed up twice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I almost threw Ocarina of Time in there, too. But I mean, we guess we could have made this a trifecta, a triforce.
We could have just talked about scary things in Ocarina of Time. But the Forest Temple is, first of all, it's, again, part of that same part of the game that you were talking about, Mark, where, like, you are new to the world of the future. Link is an adult, and everything has just been demolished, right? So it's a bad world that you find yourself in, and you fight your way back through your poor abandoned town, only to get to a temple that was once a safe place and is now just overrun with, like, ghosts and stuff. And this is also where you fight the Phantom Ganon, which is one of the coolest bosses in Ocarina of Time. And I love all of the, like, cool, like, ghosty puzzles where you have to, like, shoot all of the portraits with a bow and arrow, and those hallways that, like, twist, and then, like, you hit the thing and they, like, untwist. Man, it's so cool.
All right. My last level is also a Zelda one. Wait, okay. Is that right? Am I on the last one?
Yeah.
Do we all have one
left? Yes, that's
right. Okay, great. Yeah. Is also a Zelda thing, and it's from Breath of the Wild. And it is the labyrinths. The first labyrinth that I encountered was the one that's, like, in the upper right of the map, like Akala or whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's the first one I went to. It's really rainy there.
Yes.
And you fly into it, and it's just this huge maze. I hadn't gotten the ability where you can, like, jump really high yet.
Yeah.
So you're
Revali's Gale.
Yeah. So once you get Revali's Gale, the labyrinths aren't as difficult because you can just, like, Revali's Gale to the top and kind of, like, go to the areas you want. But at first you're, like, going through and there's all these guardians around and you're trying to make it to, like, the very center part and figure out how you can scale to the top without getting shot down. And if you're not like far enough in the game, you don't have, like, all of the power-ups and you still don't have a lot of stamina, like, everything in that game can kill you pretty easily.
Yeah.
And so once you find your way in, you get to the top, and if you want to get a, like, specific item, you drop down, and it's into this, guardian,
God.
Like,
oh, the abyss.
Yeah, like, this, like, guardian, like, they're not dead, but it seems like a graveyard, and there's just all these guardians, like, scattered
and
around.
It's the biggest, like, interior space you've seen to this point.
And you don't really...
cavernous.
Yeah, you can't really see, like, all the guardians that are around, and so you just know that you have to, like, you're like, okay, I've got to, like, get in here, get this item, so you're just, like, scrambling, and then all the guardians start, like, attacking you, and they start, like, coming
turning
to life
on
and
just around you. You hear that horrible noise of, like, at least 10 of them.
Oh, that part is so, like, it's just one of, like, the discovery things that make that game so amazing.
Yes.
Where you're just like, I can't believe I stumbled on this. And, like, this is so weird. There's just these giant, like, labyrinths, and they're so scary and so big. And it's, like, the atmosphere of that one specifically, where it's, like, really stormy and rainy. Oh, I love that part of that game so much.
Yeah. I almost wish there was lore for it. Like, I wish there was some kind of high... Hylian tome where it would talk about, like, oh yeah, if you go to the labyrinth, like, beware essentially the graveyard of the guardians, or it gave you some context as to, like, these were,
like,
all the abandoned ones, or these are the ones that they retired or they buried for because they would serve their purpose or something. Like, why are they down there?
Or maybe they were the guardians that they could never control in the first place.
Ooh, and they just stick them all in this pit.
We don't know what to do. Just, like, throw them down there. I don't know. Put a maze on top.
Yeah, they're like the broken ones.
They won't want to solve it.
Exactly. They're too spooky. I mean, it's not one of the labyrinths, but there's also another part in where it's, like, sunken down. There's, like, a temple, right? It's, like, an abandoned temple. And it's another one where, like, to make your way through, there's all these guardians that you have to...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I don't even know if it has a name or if people are just speculating that it was, like, oh, the remains of something that we've seen in another game or something
Like, in that, like, it's, like, in the canyon, like, sort of on the west side of the map. Uh-huh.
There's just so many parts of that game. Oh, man, I'm so excited for the sequel to Breath of the Wild. It's like, what else do you have to show us?
Yeah. I mean, I'm also, like, I am looking forward to the day where I've forgotten enough about Breath of the Wild that I can, like, go back into it and be, like, rewowed by it. Because, like, just talking about that labyrinth, I'm so excited right now. Like, it's so good.
I mean, thinking about the sequel, you know, the preview trailer that they showed. We just saw a tiny snippet.
Oh my gosh.
But that was like spooky stuff. And so I'm really excited to see where they go with this. And yes, I completely agree with you that like forgetting about Breath of the Wild and then replaying it will be fun. But experiencing something completely new, yeah, I'm just totally. Like really looking
I'm
forward
really
to.
Curious to see what they add, what they keep from the original game, and how they expand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whew. Emily?
All right. So on a totally different note, this is a game. This is a game that if you really play it and if you really look into it, it's quite nightmarish. Mm. It's Tomodachi Life for the Nintendo DS. Okay.
Very good. Very good.
So
state your case.
Yes. So you can create these mean monstrosities like with any kind of facial design. And it's the way they talk too. Like, I think with The Sims, it's charming because The Sims is Simlish. It's like, shabadoo, we la di da. And it's like, The Sims, you're so bright and colorful. And this one is like me's who like turn around and stare at you and are like, I want to change my hat today. And it's just like these monotone voices.
Oh, no.
Or it's like, I want to go play a prank on this other person in the apartment building. Will you let me go play a prank? And it's Nintendo trying to do random, but in a frightening, like too random, this is almost like maniacal kind of way. Like, it's terrifying how they interact with each other.
Because what is the gameplay of Tomodachi Life?
So Tomodachi Life was essentially Mii's meet the Sims. So you would create these Mii's, these Tomodachis that would live in this apartment. And you could decorate the apartment. You could go buy new clothes. And you could do games with them to get them food and have them go on the news station or go to the beach and all these crazy things. And then they would start becoming friends and interacting with each other on their own. And they would have you do tasks, be like, I think there's something on my face. Can you look at it? And all of a sudden your screen would do a really tight close up and it would be like a caterpillar on their face. And you as the player, are like, there's a caterpillar on your face. And your me is like, can you please remove it? And you're like, okay. It's just the level of random that is unhingingly terrifying.
Yeah.
Especially like then they can have babies, and me babies are like terrifying. Like their eyes and their mouths are like on the bottom half of their face because they haven't grown into them yet.
That's so like the idea, because most of it seems so like mundane, right? That like they just want to live in their apartment and like play a prank on their friend.
It's supposed to be comedic, but it's like the level of random and comedy that's written in there is like psychopathic.
Also, like, how do you not know there's a caterpillar on your face?
This is what I'm saying, is that like it's a normal thing, and then it's like a really not normal thing, because like you'd know there's a caterpillar on your face and you'd do something about it.
And then sometimes like if they're sleeping, you can go and you can see like if they have like a little dream bubble in their apartment, it's like, oh, I want to go see what Emily's dreaming about. And all of a sudden it's just your Mii's face like on a real fish body, just like swimming around in a real ocean. And
oh, so they have dreams like we do.
And you're just like, oh, it's like I said, Sims very charming, Animal Crossing adorable, yet surprisingly real life world consequences. Tomodachi Life is like, what? Just so many questions if you go back and replay that game.
Is that the one where you can like hold a concert and like write lyrics?
Yes,
and
you can write the lyrics and people did all the very, very silly songs, like having, and they made all the Mii's from like Seinfeld singing very, very silly songs. I think there was like Reggie even put himself, like he releases Mii Q, because you could also scan QR codes on your 3DS from like an online source. So I think Reggie put up his QR code so everyone could have Reggie like in their game.
Gotta have Reggie
in your
game.
So it just, yeah, the possibilities were endless. People built like John Cena. And so you could, it was like Sims in that, oh, I'm going to make all these famous people I'm friends with. But then they would do real weird. It wasn't like Sims simulated life. It was like, oh gosh, John Cena and wants to have a prank battle with Reggie Fils-Aimé. Like,
yeah, that's so, because like one of the things I really liked about like Wii and 3DS was that like it would sometimes, you know, some games would just like populate the backgrounds. Like Mario Kart was really good at this, where like, oh yeah, just like your Mii's are, you know, in the crowd. And like, you know, I had my Wii like right after college, so like, you know, this is when I had like a lot of like friends hanging out all the time, and so it just like a lot of Mii's, and it felt, I don't know, it felt like very real and like normal to just like see them in the backgrounds of games all the time. But like if they're weird drone versions of my friends acting independently and
they
like
speak in a monotone robotic voice, if they speak like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- hello, I really want some food today. Can you please go get me a banana and change my hat?
Yeah, that's I don't.
It's like your friends have become pod people.
Yes, and that might happen. Yeah. That's a good one. my last spooky place is the Spencer Mansion from Resident Evil. There is a garden out back. And in this garden, there is a cabin, a shack that is, there is a woman who lives in it who is named Lisa Trevor. And she is the terrifying experiment gone way wrong that is haunting like the entire grounds of the Spencer Mansion. She's this creature that when you encounter her, she's got this like weird flesh, like droopy flesh mask covering the front of her face, and her arms are in like wooden shackles, and she like drags her like knuckles across the floor as she like ambles towards you, and nothing you can do does anything to her. You can shoot her, you can throw grenades at her, whatever. She's horrifying. And the whole like backstory behind this character, which gets slowly doled out to you as you're playing the game, is that her father designed all of the like puzzles and traps in the mansion. And then Spencer, whatever the evil guy's first name, like had the guy killed and had his wife and daughter like experimented on and imprisoned. And then the wife dies. And so now it's just this little girl who has now grown up as like a zombie forever and spends all of her time looking for her parents. And the Spencers were like, oh, we better send in some people dressed as her parents and maybe that'll trick her. And like, of course it doesn't. And she just kills them and rips off their faces and says, where's my mother? And then wears her fake parents' faces on her face because her face is deteriorating away. Anyway, you encounter this cabin where she's been staying all by herself. And there are, like, toys. Because, like, she was a little girl when all this started happening. So, like, she's still got some of that, like, is kind of a monster child. It is the saddest part. This is all from the remake, the first on GameCube. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the saddest, like kind of realist, scary part of Resident Evil. And it's just this sad little shack that like she lives in and like regresses forever and is just this terrible monster.
Woof.
Yeah.
That Resident is a real spooky one to go out on.
Yeah. Yep. Oh my gosh. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everyone. Yeah, I'm sorry if that's too heavy, but you know that's just how I roll.
No, that's a good one.
That is a good one. That is very appropriate.
Emily, thank you so much for
oh my gosh, thank you guys for having me on here. This was a blast.
Is there anything that you would like to plug?
Yes. You can listen to me regularly on Hit Points Pod. I do it with Matt Acevedo and Naeem Stewart. And that is a silly video game podcast where we just kind of talk about video game news and what games we're playing and just have a good old time. And that's at Hit Points Pod on Twitter, and that's Hit Points Podcast. And then I'm also in a Mass Effect RPG podcast.
Ooh.
That's really, really cool. And it's called Mass Effect Adventum. We were number 4 in the United States for sci-fi for about a month, which is really, really
that's
cool.
Awesome.
So yeah, if you really like Mass Effect, if you really like RPG podcasts, definitely give that one a listen. It's a really good time.
Yeah, great. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay, that is going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Remember, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And, feel free to share this episode because you liked it. You had a good time. You made it all the way to the end.
Yeah, and maybe there were spooky levels that you were expecting to hear, but we didn't mention.
If that is possible. We only did like 15. We did a lot of spooky levels. But if you want to share those with us, you can email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. Or you can tweet at us at NinCartSociety or at Mark and I separately. I'm at Patrick_Ellers. Mark is at MKE Mitchell. Or you can go to the Facebook page, which is just Nintendo Cartridge Society. And that's it. That's our show. Olivia Duncan made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8-Bit Betty. You can get more of his music by going to 8bitbetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Eller saying, if he sees you, run away. Thanks for listening.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte from Mega the Podcast. I'm a weekend producer at Twin Hills, a fictional mega church in Broad Ripple, Indiana.
And I'm Gray Haas. I'm the youth pastor of our church's teen ministry called Climax.
On every episode of Mega the Podcast, we improvise with a new guest comedian playing a different character from our community.
Tune in and hear episodes with guests like Cecily Strong.
How would you me off or whatever? Sorry, am I allowed to say that? I don't know.
You know what? It's covered in the blood. Rory Scovel.
I said, hey, we could build houses or we could build our faith in Christ out on a golf course.
Eliza Coop.
The way I plow the snow is I'm not doing it by any other guidance except from God.
And Scott Adsit.
Physics is the proof of God.
Wow.
Because it's perfect.
Oh. Well.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
We couldn't think of physics.
Right.
Only he could think of physics.
Isn't that right?
We're on Campfire Media.
Listen to Mega wherever you find podcasts.